Morning, everybody. Welcome again to our church service this morning. Continuation thereof. Greet each of you in Jesus' name. This beautiful late spring, early summer morning, whatever you want to call it. As Gene referred to earlier, he thinks the farmers would be happy, and working on the farm has given me that perspective of enjoying both the sunshine and the rain equally. Since my job does not really dovetail around sunshine or rain, it's pretty steady, whether it's rain or shining. But there is something to be said about the balance of both rain and sun. I know a lot of people were probably a little upset. They had plans this weekend, and probably a lot of fans got upset because of how cool and rainy it was. But I love seeing the rain come down. There's something about a cooler, rainy day where it just kind of comes down lightly all day that is... Well, no, sit inside and drink your coffee if you can, and watch it come down. This morning, the service so far has been a blessing to me, especially the Sunday school class. Kind of dovetailed very neatly with what I was going to bring this morning. I'll admit that I did not look at the Sunday school lesson before I chose what I was going to study about. The subject I have before me is one that is very personal to me because it's something that I have to work for, I guess. Something that I struggle with quite a bit, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think it's a humanity problem more than a personality problem, although I'm sure different personalities would make this more or less a more intense maybe issue or maybe not. Intentional Christianity is how I have it titled, and it came from a set of verses that were inspiration to me quite a few months ago. I'm not sure exactly where it came from, but I have a note app in my phone that I'll occasionally will jot down ideas for maybe things to speak on so that it has some inspiration. And this one was one that came to me a while back. And as I was thinking on what to speak on, it just was impressed upon my mind. What is intentionality? What even is that? Is intentionality, is that pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps? That's kind of how I view it. I think as men, we would tend to view it more that way. Is it discipline? I guess the two can kind of be synonymous. What is discipline? What gives us the power to follow through on discipline? And how many times do we discipline ourselves to do something and then somehow within a week or so or a few weeks it kind of fizzles out and we look back and realize that we kind of just left it drop? Something that I struggle with quite a bit. My personality is a little more in line with do things as they come up and kind of work with things as they pass before me instead of being more plan-oriented. That's not my strong suit necessarily. But it kind of bleeds over into intentionality because when it comes to our Christian life, you know, how do we look at that? How are we viewing what we should be doing in our Christian life? Is it something that we have a plan laid out? Maybe you have a 10-step plan that you do every morning when you get up, have your devotions, read some verses. I want to bless you for that if that's who you are, because I'm sure it has many benefits. You know, however, that is very intentional. And I'm sure we could all benefit. Those of us that don't do that so much could benefit more from that. I find myself personally, if I do that, I end up just falling into a kind of a bland sort of pharisaical, well, this is the law and this is the way I do it, and the life kind of burns out of it, so to speak. And that is probably another set of problems to deal with that, but I don't know. We talked about it in our Sunday class this morning, the Psalms there, there was a lot about praising the Lord and recognizing what God has done for us. And that only comes from intentionally living our lives and viewing our lives through the lens of God to be able to see those. Otherwise, we kind of just go through life one day at a time and we fail to see so many things that God is doing in our life, and then we miss the opportunities that God's put in front of us to speak for Him and to show His kingdom to those around us. You can turn to Micah chapter 6. This is where the inspiration came from. It was a very familiar verse in Micah 6 that I'm going to draw most of this subject from. I'm going to read the first 8 verses here and just listen to what he's saying here. The setting is obviously pre-Jesus Jewish existence and all the struggles that they went through with trying to follow the law, and they would be intentional. You know, so many times the children of Israel were like, you know, we'll follow you no matter what. You know, we got that promise from Joshua, we'll follow you, and, you know, and then they'd always somehow lose it. And Jesus addressed that, you know, and Paul and some of the apostles addressed that, and saying, you know, the law was given for our correction, but it's not something that we can actually attain to, because our humanity, we always drop the ball. Micah 6, verse 1, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And I read over those verses, and it just really stood out to me, the direct nature of what he was writing here. He was kind of challenging the people with intentionality. You know, what are they doing? What are we doing? What am I doing in my life? Am I just relying on, like he says, all about the sacrifices? Will, you know, 1,000 rams, maybe 10,000 rivers of oil? How far do we have to go to get God to listen to us? You know, or on the flip side of that, are we just doing what we feel like we should be doing and missing the heart of God in the process? And that's where intentionality comes in. I want to focus on verse 8, a very familiar verse, and the one where this inspiration came from for me. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. All three of those are commands that are intentional. How do we do justly? Isn't justice something that justice is something just out there? It's this nebulous idea. We all know what justice is, right? But are we doing justly? Do we love mercy? Are we grudgingly showing mercy? Or do we love mercy? Walk humbly with thy God. We're walking with God. What does humility and our walk with God look like? And we're going to touch on all three of these as we go through this. The first, I want to move into it. The first one is do justly. You turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17, just one verse here that kind of stood out to me. It speaks to this. Isaiah 1 verse 17 says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. So it says seek judgment, or a more modern word for that is justice. Seek justice. And then the phrase here is do justly. So what does that even mean? Justice requires honesty, both for ourselves, others, and the situation we're in. How easy it is us to look at what is just and what we consider is just and to do that. I find myself especially the weakness in that I want to do justly. Obviously, justice and honesty go hand in hand, and we're called to be that person. And yet, our humanity, I guess, sneaks through so quickly in that I really think that justice should be what most benefits me, right? And I don't know, it's a little hard to admit that because we feel like that's very petty, a petty way of thinking. And it's also not Christian. I mean, it's not the heart of Jesus. And yeah, how many times do I find myself kind of hedging my bets a little bit when it comes to this honesty? You know, we'll be honest, but we kind of maybe leave out the most incriminating thing or make it kind of water it down to make ourselves come out smelling a little better in the end. And I don't know, when it comes to intentionality, we're talking about intentional Christianity here. It's something that I really have to work at, I guess. I view myself as an honest person. I mean, I think we all kind of like to look at ourselves as being honest. I hope we do anyways. And yet, I kind of pat myself on the back a little bit of it too. Like, I'm an honest person, and anytime I might hedge my bets and someone calls me out on it, I get mad because, well, I'm not a person that lies. Stop accusing me of being dishonest. What does Jesus have to say about this? Jesus, obviously, we're not going to get into it too much, but he focused a lot on the heart. Where does honesty come from? Where does living justly come from? It comes from the heart, and the only way that comes from is an intentionality in living our Christian life with him. Having the love of God poured through us and through our actions, our words, and our thoughts to coming from our own life and our dealings from other people. It's easy to be just with ourselves. It's easy to deceive ourselves. It's easy to be just with the people that we like. What about the people we don't like? And in actuality, you're backing up a little bit. We'd like to say it's easy to be just with the people we like, but is it really? I can always find myself being a little more honest with myself to the people that I don't really know that well versus the people that know me really well, because they know what I'm really like. And so it's almost harder to be honest with the people that know me, my church people, my family, my wife. Because I don't know how it is with you all and yourself, but for me, I'm acutely aware of my shortcomings. I'm acutely aware of that. And sometimes my lack of ability to overcome those areas can really start digging at me a little bit. I've dealt with it so many times before. Why am I working through it again? And then someone calls me out on it, family or whatever, and my knee-jerk reaction is to get mad. And it's not really that I'm mad at the person that called me out. I'm almost more mad at myself because I don't want to admit my humanity. I want to have it to put together. So back to this intentionality thing. How do we be intentional about being just, being honest with ourselves, with those that are close to us, with those that are not close to us? Once again, I find that the human mind and the human existence, my own humanity, there's so many scenarios that we deal with on a daily basis, and we are so adept at being dishonest with ourselves and the little things, with the people that are close to us, with the people that are far away from us. Depends on the situation. Our minds can play tricks on us. We can kind of hedge our bets a little bit and call it good because we don't want to deal with the hard things in life. We all like to think that we're just and honest, like I said, but by whose standards are we judging that? Are we just and honest by our own standards? By other standards, what we think they expect of us, maybe what they actually expect of us? Those can be two very different things. We can get tunnel vision and we can kind of, well, this is kind of what I think the other person wants from me because it's the easiest path for me, and so I'm just going to go with it. Is it God's standards? Shouldn't our standards and God's standards be the same? I mean, obviously, the obvious answer to that question is we're all going to say yes. But what exactly does that look like? And once again, this all comes back to intentionality. How intentional am I in being honest and being just with myself and those around me and aligning my desires and my actions with God? If I'm just living my life, am I reading 10 verses in the Bible and saying a 5-minute prayer in the beginning of the day and then just kind of forgetting about it the rest of the day? My life just happens, relying on my own morality to keep me from really sticking my foot in it, so to speak. But what happens with that is you just kind of fall into a neutral gear, and then things will pop up out of the blue and you'll do something that you regret. And you're like, well, now why did I do that? I had an instance this week I'm going to kind of tell myself. I was just trying to decide where I was going to say this or not. But I was driving my truck out the road and one morning this morning out the turnpike, and it was raining, and so driving conditions were terrible, and I'm in the left-hand lane doing about the speed limit and passing some trucks, and we're getting past them, but you know, nobody's going too fast because it's just bad conditions. And I'm just getting past, there's like two or three trucks in the line. I'm getting past them, getting ready to turn over, get back in the right-hand lane, and this van, some transit van, just comes right out around me, just over in the right-hand lane, right up past, and it's just, you know, idiotic. Why would you do that? Like, it's on a curve, it's slippery roads. Why would, you know, so... It's just that, I don't know if you call it road rage, but it's just that it's a little bit of that comes up and you like blow the horn a little bit and they go past you. Oh, they're from Florida. Of course they are, you know. Out of state, you know. And so then what do you do with that? You know, sometimes you can let it go past. Okay, well, whatever. God loves you too. And other times you speed up and chase them down a little bit just to show them a little bit of a lesson. Well, that's not good either, right? And then... you get past and you're like, now why did I do that? You know, I know better than that. You know, why would I even? And it comes back to, I was thinking about this off and on the rest of the week. Like, you think back, what is in ourselves that would make us react that way? And if I'm being honest, you know, it can come from a lack of living intentionally. You know, if you're focused on God and having that in your mind, it's very easy to let those situations go. And I've had times like that where someone does something, it's like, well, he must have been having a bad day, you know. I hope he arrives at his destination safely. And then other times, you have the completely different reactions. So where did that come from? All that to be said, doing justly, I mean, I guess blowing the horn at the guy and chasing him down just to show him a point, it's not doing justly to those around me. It's also not being a very good witness. You know, but you can excuse yourself by saying, well, he doesn't know who I am, right? Doesn't really matter. But God sees. So, yeah, just a little story there. Moving on to the second section, loving mercy. The verse here says to love mercy. What does that look like? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 for a verse on this. A couple verses here that speak to mercy. Obviously, there are a lot of verses in the Bible that speak on the mercies of God. So I could have picked any one of those. Any one of these three points could have been a whole entire sermon in themselves. So we're not going to, this is not an exhaustive talk on that. It's just part of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I jump in here in the middle of this familiar passage. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. How could we not love mercy when that is all that God has shown to us? I just told a story about, I guess we do it that because we just assume that we're going to rely on the mercy of God. In the Old Testament, there were some pretty stringent regulations laid down, and if things happened, sometimes the consequences were dire, even to the point of the person being put to death. I don't know about you all, but I'm grateful that we don't live in that setting anymore because I might not be in existence anymore at this point. But we just kind of assume that the mercy of God is going to be extended toward us, and it is because God has promised his mercy to us. And yet it's so easy to not extend that mercy to someone around us. Like, oh, we already gave him five chances already, so I'm not going to give him another chance. Well, just by the fact that we're counting probably says a little bit something about the process in our hearts that's going through. I'm showing him mercy, but it's kind of begrudging, right? It's easy to love mercy shown to us. I love it. I love it when I mess up and someone shows mercy to me. You know, I grew up and... you know, my dad was a pretty hard taskmaster, and sometimes when something was screwed up, you know, you paid for it pretty badly. And that's not a knock on him. But, you know, I remember later in life I got a different job and I screwed up pretty bad. Like it was a drastic mistake. And my employer, who had just started working for him just a couple weeks before, was very merciful and helping to correct a mistake and being, you know, it's fine. And that made a massive impression on me as a teenager in that situation. So it's easy to love mercy shown to us do we only show mercy to those around us because we know we must? Like, oh, well, the Bible says, you know, Jesus said I'm supposed to show mercy, so I'm going to show mercy. But I really hope he gets it together, because it cost me some money, and I don't really like that. You know, it's making my situation worse, and so we're going to do it because we have to. Or I'm doing it because I'm commanded to. God commands me to do this, and I really want to pat myself on the back and tell myself that I'm doing the right thing. So I'm going to show mercy because I'm commanded to. I had to think about the verses. We're not going to go to them because they're very familiar. But Jesus said, well, it was a couple different times. But the only way we're forgiven is if we forgive others. And I kind of have to wonder if that concept also dovetails with mercy, showing mercy to others. Because mercy and forgiveness are actually very closely related. I'm not sure how you can quite have forgiveness without mercy. And I'm not really sure if you could have mercy without forgiveness. Now, maybe you could argue that way. Maybe I can show mercy to someone, you know, I won't retaliate now, but we're going to hold it in back. And if they do it again, then we're going to bring the hammer down. I mean, I guess technically, by the technical definition of the word mercy, I guess you show mercy without forgiving them. But it's really, really hard to show mercy to someone without forgiving them. And yet we're commanded to do both. There's a couple different examples in the Bible that came to mind when I was thinking about this. I thought about David and Saul, King Saul. David was out in the wilderness being chased all around for a long time. It was years. If you really study the story, I forget exactly how many years it was, but it was a long time. And I know for myself, if I was being chased around the desert by a guy who, I mean, let's face it, David had already been anointed as king at this point, so he knew what was coming down the road. And he's, I think it was about my age while this all was happening, a little bit younger. And then he had that opportunity in the cave to go kill King Saul. And he could have came up with all kinds of justifications for it. God put this opportunity in front of him. This must be God's will. And yet his intentionality in doing what God commanded and following, honoring the laws of God, Saul was still God's anointed. And so he could not do it. I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure if I could have done the same thing in his setting. Yet, the only way he was able to do that was because of his heart after God, his intentionality with following God and showing mercy in that situation. That's the only way it was possible. That was a level of mercy and love that is beyond human standards. Now, we can't just drum that up out of our own existence. Like, I'm just going to be a loving person and we're going to strong arm this into existence. I think we've all been there and tried that. I know I have tried to strong arm my way into doing the right things. And inevitably, eventually, there comes a point where a situation pops up and your humanity, your own strong armness fails. At some point, a situation moves beyond what we can do ourselves into the supernatural realm of the only way this happens is because the love of God is in my heart. That should be the way we operate all the time. And I understand in our humanity, we kind of, our Christian life will maybe ebb and flow. There's been times where my intentionality was on point and things were getting done and things were happening. And then you wake up a while later and realize you've kind of put it in neutral and that's no longer happening. And the danger in that is like, well, my life is still going pretty good, so I'm just going to keep my life in that neutral gear because we're doing all right. And we could put a good face on when we're around the people that really care about their opinions of us. And we could be intentional and burst in spurts just enough to make it look good and to tell ourselves that we're doing the right thing. And yet, our life is stuck in neutral. Our Christianity, our spirituality, our vitality, I guess you'd call it, is stuck in neutral. And nothing's really happening. And we sit back and wonder, why does my life seem like I'm not going anywhere? And then you start doing an analysis of what's going on, and you realize that I've lost my intentionality. I'm not actively pursuing the things that I know I should be doing. I'm just kind of letting them happen and hoping that the pieces fall in place. I'm hoping that the puzzle piece fits. If I turn it around enough times, eventually it'll fall into place instead of putting in the effort to find the right one that fell under the table. I don't know. Another instance of this showing mercy is Jesus to those crucifying him, or Stephen when they were stoning him. There's so many instances in the Bible, and we can even go beyond that. Maybe it's somebody you knew in your own life, something that happened some, you know, Mars Mirror is full of these stories of supernatural mercy, supernatural that only comes from the love of God in our hearts. And it was people that loved mercy. They loved to show it. It wasn't something that just happened. They were doing it because they were commanded. They loved to do it. It shines forward. You can easily see the difference. It's fairly easy, especially in the more drastic situation, the easier it is to see. And there's, like I said, there's so many other instances of that. It's just a challenge to me, do I love mercy? And this can go into many other areas of life beyond mercy as well. But do I love to do the things that Jesus commands me to do? Or am I just doing it because I know this is the right thing to do? I mean, there's a certain point to where we do that as well, but we follow the commands of God. But am I loving to do it? Third point of the message, back to this verse in chapter 6, verse 8 here. Walk humbly with God. Turn to Psalm 25 for a verse on this. And once again, there could be many, many verses that fit in here. I just picked one out here that kind of stood out to me in my studying. Psalm 25, verse 9, says this. The meek, or the humble, you can insert humility in that. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek or the humble will he teach his way. So we look at that verse, guiding in judgment and teaching his way. Talking about pride. Pride is the number one instigator of all things that go wrong. I'm convinced of it in our lives. It all comes back to pride, whether we like to admit it or not. And the very fact that we don't like to admit it is pride working. But when it comes to humility, walking humbly with God, we can walk with God. Is it actually possible to walk with God without humility? I don't know. I went back and forward on that one, because when we're talking about, as a Christian, we're walking with God. Am I walking with God, but am I kind of taking a pharisaical view of this? Like, I've really got it figured out. Like, I'm walking with God. I know I'm doing the right things. So pride starts sneaking in there. I'm kind of a little bit better than that person down the street because, oh, I can admit my humanity and I still haven't figured out. We're quick to say that to look good. But I really do feel good about where I'm at, because I know that, you know, I'm kind of, you know, where we're at in the situation. You know, I'm come from a long heritage of Anabaptist, and I kind of been taught the right way all my life. And so it's kind of ingrained into us to know the right things to do. And everyone else, you know, they may say they're following Jesus. We love to talk about nominal Christianity and how they all talk about the right thing, but they don't. Not very few of them do it. I think we can kind of take a pharisaical view of that quite often and be like, you know, if they really studied their Bible and if they really, really, really were intentional with what they were saying they were going to do, then they would look a lot more like us. Like, we kind of view ourselves as we got at the pinnacle of the experience of living with Jesus. And to a certain point, we kind of have to do that a little bit, because, well, if you don't believe that you are where you should be, then you probably shouldn't be sitting there. You should probably be moving toward a different spot, moving toward the spot where you need to be. And so at some point, we have to have confidence in where we are with our walk with God. But at the same time, humility is so key, because we have to realize that no matter where we're at, none of us are ever at the end goal in our life. It doesn't matter if you're a new Christian as a young child or a teenager, or if you're 60s and 70s and 80s and you've lived with Jesus for a long time. Everyone will tell you that. And it's so easy to say that, oh, I don't have it all figured out. I know I don't. But we kind of say that to cover ourselves a little bit, because we know our foibles and we know where we're falling away. So we kind of say that generalized statement. And kind of, you know, it sounds good coming out of our mouth, because, you know, we're being humble about it. But are we just doing it to cover our backs, cover our tracks, so to speak? And then what comes down to us, okay, so what is walking humbly with God? What does it even look like? It's easy to say. The phrases roll off our lips. We have all these nice pet phrases that sound good. sound like we actually have it figured out, or at least we're getting there anyways. I listed a few things out here. Reliance on God. What is it? What is that? What is reliance on God? Well, it's intentionality. I know we're kind of circling around back here again, but reliance on prayer. How much prayer time am I putting in? How much humility am I putting into my prayer time? Am I just praying for the same seven or eight things and kind of like my mind is half on the prayer and half on what I'm doing for the rest of the day? Reliance on Holy Spirit guidance. Well, how's that come about? Well, once again, intentional time with God. I don't care if you do it in the morning, sometime during the day, in the evening, or throughout the day, keeping God in mind and being intentional with it, and being intentional with humility. I guess we talk about being intentional with God, and intentional in our Christian walk with life, but without humility as one of the main ingredients in that whole scenario, I think we're failing. Like, it's a challenge to me. I look at my life, and how much am I thinking about humility, being humble before God? I don't know. Asking advice from others. Are we humble enough to admit that we're struggling at this point and we need some help? That's really hard to do. Or are we only grudgingly pulling that card out when we've tried for a long, long, long time and just haven't been able to do it? So we finally, maybe somebody jumped us about it. So we finally admit that we need help after we got called out on it. It's kind of disheartening to admit how much pride we have in our hearts sometimes, because we feel like that we shouldn't have that pride and we shouldn't, and yet it's so prevalent sometimes. Our hard-heartedness and hard-headedness can keep us from moving forward, because we're expected to have it figured out. And I know we as men, maybe this is a little more difficult for us to do, but we're expected to have it figured out, and it's really difficult for us to admit that we don't. Reading the Bible from hunger and not duty. I don't know. That's always been a tough one for me. I know I've spoken on that before, but we've all read the Bible so many times through and through. I've read it front to back many times. So where does the desire to read God's word come from? Am I just like, well, I'm expected to open my devotional app and this is the verses that I have to read, and so I skim through them and yep, familiar verses, good points. Lord, help me do this, and then that's the end of it, and the rest of the day goes by without thinking about it. Am I hungry for the word of God? Because once again, it takes intentionality. We have to wake up each day with the mindset that I'm going to rely on God to do what I need to do for today. My relationships, my conversations with people, my actions toward my coworkers, the random people that I don't even know, my family. You know, there's a term, familiarity breeds contempt, and that is true. A lot of times the people you're closest with are the ones that you end up not actually being able to practice your Christianity on, because it's so familiar, they kind of tend to grind you the wrong way. And yeah, the challenge is there. Am I humble enough to admit that I need the help that I need to have to get and to get it? Am I humble enough to admit that I need reliance on the Word of God in my life? You know, that should be, you sit there and think, well, that should be an obvious one, right? And yet, it's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. I don't know. I feel like with this subject, talk about intentionality, like I said before, I'm not the type of guy that it's really natural for me to just, you know, put a list out of 10 things that I need to do for today and really follow through with it. And I find that it comes back to bite me sometimes in just my relationships and in my Christianity. Things can kind of just kind of float. So you're talking about walking humbly with God. I think that's the real key where it starts. Where's my humility at in all this? Concluding all this, all these points require intentionality. They don't just happen. Like I said, it's something, every single one of these, loving mercy, doing justly, walking humbly with God. It's not something that's just going to fall into place. It's something we have to focus on. Am I asking God for intentional living? and then forgetting about the rest of the day, expecting just to happen. I know I do that too much. I already touched on that. The Bible also says that we as Christian people are supposed to exhort one another. Are we being intentional in that? Because when intentionality can kind of be a closed loop a little bit, whereas we're intentional to be the person we need to be and to exhort the others around us, which in turn can help them to be intentional. It can kind of be a self-feeding loop. I think it's something that we as a church can kind of drop a little bit, but it's something that could be such a good tool to use. You know, am I sending that message? And God put someone in my mind, sending that message. Am I doing it, or am I not even looking for the opportunities to do so? You know, am I just kind of living in my own existence? Let's be an intentional church about that. Let's not only focus on ourselves, but focus on those that are around us. Let's be intentional with talking with those around us, with praying for them, with asking them the hard questions, maybe. Being open ourselves to engender that intentionality with others. Intentional people lead to an intentional church. An intentional church leads to intentional kingdom building. We were praying for missionaries. And when last Sunday we heard a couple sermons on being intentional about being church, you know, kingdom building, whether we're the ones that's being sent or whether we're the ones at home supporting. It all starts with our own personal lives and then moves outward from that. If we have an intentionality with our actions and the things that we're doing in our own life, I think we're going to find it much easier to be intentional with those around us and to be an intentional church. And then the things that, like, the community will notice. I love that, you know, as a church here, we do things that are intentional, like the widow's banquet and things like that, going to sing Easter singing in people's homes. You know, it's something that it wouldn't happen unless we're intentional with it. This last time, you know, our original Sunday didn't work, so we were intentional about, you know, making it happen on another Sunday. We could have easily left that job, you know, but we didn't. And so it's those small things that stack up into a big mountain of intentionality. So as we're living our life, I guess the inspiration I'd like to take from this is, as I'm living my life, as we're all living our lives this next week and you know, the coming days and weeks, whatever it is, let's focus on intentionality. You know, let's do that prayer. Let's take the extra time to say that prayer for the person that God brought to mind. Let's take the extra time to not be annoyed at someone, some person who we're a customer dealing with that brought up a conversation. Or maybe it's that person that always brings up a conversation every time you see them. You see them walking in the door. I know I have a couple customers, and I see them pulling up like, oh boy, you know, what are we getting into now? I got places to be and things to do, you know. Because some random conversation is going to pop up and you're going to spend 10 minutes just talking about nothing. But I was challenged on that. You know, this one person the other week, the conversation turned to just Bible and what does the Bible say about divorce and remarriage and, you know, family members that they have that are living in sin. And it's like, so all these conversations that I can kind of find annoying almost are leading, have a potential to lead to a point where, you know, I can really have an impact for the kingdom of God. So let's be intentional with those, with our children, with our marriages, our homes, our businesses. Let's not just let life happen. Let's let God work through us in a powerful way. And I think His kingdom will be built. I see that happening in this church, you know, in our community around us. Let's keep making it happen.